I'd like to thank so many of you for coming. As was mentioned earlier, the theme for this series of lessons is Discovering Lost Virtues. That means the concepts that we're going to be talking about throughout the whole weekend are all aspects of good moral character that have either been lost or deliberately destroyed out of our society. These are character traits that were once respected. These are virtues that people once tried to cultivate. These are things people aspired to. Now they're mostly a joke. Our lessons for this weekend are integrity, honesty, humility, modesty, chastity, and responsibility. There was a time when even people that failed to live up to these ideals, the people that failed to live up to them still knew that they were right and good. Now they're seen as archaic, old-fashioned, something that your grandparents believed in maybe, but times have changed. They're aspects of a bygone day. It's in the past, we're in a new century now. People still practice them. People that still practice them, they're kind of behind on the times. They don't realize that things are different now. Well, things are different now for us, but they're not different for God. God doesn't change the rules that He gives us to live by because we decide we'd like to try something new. Because we decide we get tired of following the laws that He's laid out. Many people would like to believe that God grades on a curve, that everything is relative. When you're in school, that can come in handy. Whoever did the best on the test, that person gets an A, and everybody else goes off of that. So as long as you can look and say, hey, I'm not at the bottom, I did better than that guy, then you get a better grade. That's not how God works. We can't look at somebody else and say, hey, I'm better than that person. I'm more honest. I'm more honorable than that person over there. So therefore, God will, He'll let me slide. Well, we can always find somebody that's worse. That's not the way that God works. Throughout this lesson, I'm going to take a couple of things for granted. I presume that everybody here believes that God exists and that God will judge us when we die. And we're all going to die, and He is going to judge us. Now, if that's a concept you're not sure that you believe, then you should probably come talk to me or Stephen or Wendell or somebody after the lesson, because that would be for another lesson. But for now, I'm going to assume that we all pretty much more or less accept that. At least intellectually. You know, we may not live it, but at least in our minds, we know that it's better to be a good person than to be a bad person. So this first lesson is based on integrity. And integrity is pretty much the moral bedrock. It's the foundation of moral character. If you don't have integrity, then you don't have anything. Another word that is used for it is honor. And I don't mean honor in the sense of your reputation, like some martial arts movie where somebody says, you have insulted my honor, and they mean they've made them look bad to the community. In this sense, honor or integrity is something that you possess or don't. But it's something that's completely within you. Nobody else can give it to you, and nobody else can take it away. It's yours. It might be the case that people think that you're an honorable person, but you really aren't. And it might be the case that people think that you have no integrity, when in fact you do. It doesn't matter what other people think or don't. Your character is within you. It's between you, and it's between God and nobody else. But it is true, by their fruits you shall know them, said the Lord. It is true that most of the time, people will be able to tell whether you have honor or not. They'll know because it will show itself in other areas. Some of these other virtues that we're going to talk about later in the weekend. Now, it's probably pretty obvious to everybody here that honor is not a concept that people really believe in strongly anymore. Let me illustrate it to you, and you be the judge. I want you to imagine that you're at school, or for you older folks, that you're back at school. Imagine that you're at school, and class is going to start in about 5 minutes, and the homework's due. And you did it, but a friend of yours didn't. And he says, hey, tell me the answers. Not, you know, how did you figure out number two, but just tell me the answers. He's sitting there with his pencil, and he wants you to read off the answers so he can write them down and turn them in. And suppose you say, no, I can't do that. What's he immediately going to say? Well, why not? And suppose that you respond, because that would be dishonorable. Now, what do you think your reaction, what do you think the reaction you're going to get is going to be like? Is the person that said, hey, can I copy? When you say, I won't do that because it's dishonorable, is he going to be ashamed and apologize? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask you to violate your moral code. I was wrong. Is that what you're going to get? Is there anybody that thinks that's what you're going to get? What are you going to get? You're going to get a laugh. You're going to get somebody rolling their eyes. You're going to get somebody that thinks you're stupid. And the people standing by that just hear about it, they're going to laugh. They're going to think that's funny. Because nobody says that anymore. Nobody says, I won't do that. Because that's dishonorable. That's funny. That's a joke to people. And it used to be something that people considered deadly serious. A person's honor used to be something that they would give their life for. But no longer. Now, it's just a punchline. Because integrity is a lost virtue in this society. And we need to discover it again. In the book of Job, we read about a man who was rich. He was extremely wealthy. He had lands. He had cattle. He had houses, property, all the things back then that brought wealth. He was rich, and he lost all of his riches. He was a father. All of his children were killed. He had his health, but that was taken from him, and he got an agonizing disease. It was God who allowed Satan to do all these things to Job. Now, sometimes, when things don't go our way, we'd like to think, you know, somebody's out to get us. Well, Job actually had somebody out to get him. Satan actually was out to get Job, personally. And Job's wife and his friends, who he still had left after he lost all of the good things in his life, they told him to let go of his principles. Just curse God. And he said in chapter 27 and verse 5, far be it from me that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. All that Job had in the world was his honor. He knew that he was a good man. He could lose everything, but even Satan himself couldn't take Job's honor away from him. The only person that could do that was Job, and he would not, he refused to give that up. He would rather die than violate his integrity. That's how highly he prized it. And today, people throw away their honor so that they don't get an F on a test. A little bit of a discontinuity there between what it was worth back then and what we consider it to be worth now. Once years ago, I was on an internet news group, and somebody posted a message mentioning that there was a particular item at Target that was supposed to cost $15. But when they rang it up at the cash register, there was an error in the computer that made it show up for $3. And they posted this because it was a wonderful thing. Hey, you can get stuff cheap. And everybody says, all right, I'm heading down to Target. People went down to Target and they bought all kinds of $15 items for $3. Some of them just wanted free stuff. Some of them bought a whole bunch, turned around and sold the rest that they didn't need on eBay for a nice tidy profit. Eventually, somebody at Target figured out that there was an error, and they corrected it, but by then, they lost hundreds or thousands of dollars. This wasn't an advertising error. They didn't say it was $3, and they didn't mean it. It was $15, that's how much it cost. Somebody just made a mistake in the computer. You didn't know it till you paid for it. It wasn't like people were misled. And yet people were more than happy to run down there and get something marked down by 500%. I was one of the very few people that said, I'm not going to go do that. And people said, well, why not? And I actually said, before it was an example, but I actually said to somebody, because that would be dishonorable. And guess what? Laughter. A couple of people respected that. Everybody else thought it was stupid. Why wouldn't you want to get stuff that cheaply? What possible reason is there to not want to get it? It didn't make any sense to them. Everybody thought that was hilarious. Proverbs 28 verse 6 says, better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So what's more important, money or being a good person? What's more important, getting a good grade in school or being a good person? What's more important, having people at school or at work or your neighbors, having them like you, or being a good person? So you can be rich and educated and well-liked by everybody, but that's not going to keep you out of hell if you violate God's word. We should remember to prioritize some of these things. So why should we have integrity? Because you can't be a good person without it. Let me ask you here tonight, do you want to be the hero in your own story? Do you want to be the good guy in the plot of your life? Because let me tell you a secret that everybody already knows. It's not really a secret. See, everybody thinks that they're the good guy. Everybody thinks they're the hero in their own life. Very few people just admit to being selfish and evil. Hardly anybody says, I'm just going to do what I want, whenever I want, because I'm more important than anybody else, and what I want to do is more important than right or wrong. Most people don't come out and say that. If they act that way, in their mind, they've got a good reason. If they don't, then at least they know that however bad they might be, they're better than that guy. See, that's an evil person. Me, I just have to bend the rules every now and then, but that's a bad guy. Me, I'm a good guy, but sometimes a little rebellious, you know. But I'm still the good guy, in their mind. Everybody thinks that. If you break the rules, you had a good reason, or else maybe it's because the rules are stupid and they deserve to be broken. But it's always somebody else who's the bad guy. We all think that about ourselves, but is it true? You know folks that aren't good people, right? You know people that are selfish or evil. They don't think that they are. But you know they're wrong. We all think that we're the good guy, but are we? Are we as good as we would like to think that we are? Well, the first step to having integrity is to be honest with yourself. Because if you lie to yourself about yourself, you can't be a person of honor. When I was a little kid and I did something wrong, my parents said, why did you do that? I always said, I don't know. Anybody else ever say, I don't know, to your parents? You knew, though, didn't you? Didn't I tell you to come straight home? Well, yeah. Didn't I say, don't go to the mall after school? Well, yeah. Then why did you go to the mall? I don't know. Well, that's a lie, isn't it? What's the real reason? Because I wanted to do it, and I wanted to do it more than I wanted to obey you. Well, one, we don't really think of it that way. We don't think that in our mind and just refrain from saying it. Two, if we thought it, we sure wouldn't say it because we like to go on living. But even in our own mind, see, here's the thing. When I said that to my parents, I wasn't really lying to them. I lied to myself. When I said, I don't know, if you'd hooked me up to a lie detector, it probably would have registered that I was telling the truth. But I did know deep down. I just didn't want to admit it. Because if I thought about it, then I would know I'm a disobedient kid. I'm just ignoring what my parents say. They tell me to do something, and I just flat out couldn't care less what that's what they said. well, I don't want to be that kind of person, so I hid it. I hid from that. And just says, well, I did it, but I kind of just did it on autopilot. And then when one tried to own up to it, well, I don't know why I did it. But it was a lie, and it was an internal lie first. And that's just cowardly. But that's what we do. So step one, let's be honest with ourselves about the kind of people we are. We can't ever be better than we are if we don't first know what we are right now. So sometimes, just take out your soul and have a look at it. And ask yourself, am I the person right now that I want to be? Integrity means that you live your life according to a set of principles, and that you value those principles more highly than you do your own desires of the moment. Having integrity requires sacrifice. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if a man has not found something worth dying for, he's not fit to live. Revelation 2, verse 10 says, fear not the things which you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now we say that sometimes kind of fast, be thou faithful unto death. But the unto is not the same word as until. It doesn't say, be faithful your whole life until the day that you die. Which we should, but that's not what that verse says. It says, be you faithful unto death. That means, be faithful even if you die because of it. Even if being faithful means you get killed, you be faithful. And God said, I will reward you. You be a good person no matter what. More important than your life. That's what God said. Most people today would find it ridiculous that someone would rather die than violate their integrity. But that's because, as we said, honor's been lost. People don't respect it. And people think that this life is all that there is. Which, if this life was all that there is, then you might say, life at any cost. But we know that's not true. And even if you did think this life was all that there is, which it isn't, is a life without honor, is that really the life that we'd like to live? In the year 160, a Christian named Polycarp was told to renounce Jesus or die. He said, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me nothing but good. How then could I curse him, my Lord and Savior? So they tied him to a stake, they lit it on fire, they stabbed him to death, and they burned his corpse. He was the hero of his story. When you tell the life of Polycarp, he was the hero. Some people really are the hero. Do we want to be? Integrity means that you live your life according to a set of principles, and that you value those principles more highly than you do just doing whatever you feel like doing, or whatever makes you feel good or makes you happy right now. If you live to make yourself happy, then you don't have any principles. Because make self happy, that's not a principle. That's the lack of a principle. Now, not everybody agrees on what principles you should live your life by. That's where God comes in. It is true, you can have integrity and live your life by a set of principles, and they not necessarily be God's principles. There are people of integrity. They're following a set of principles that they consider higher than themselves, and they have honor. But the rules that they're following aren't quite what God said to do. That's because integrity, while important, that's not just the end-all, be-all of our obedience to God. Those people, they're following some set of principles that's only a shadow of what's in here. We need to have integrity, and we need to have it directed. I want to be a person of honor, and this is what I want to use as a basis for that. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 28, the Bible reads, one of the scribes came, heard them question together, and knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 12, Jesus said, "All things therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, even so do you also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets." And now the second passage is commonly called the Golden Rule, but I like to call it the Golden Commandment, because if we call it a rule, it makes it seem like it's a little more of a guideline, like it's a good idea, but it's optional. And it's not optional. It's a law. We don't get to treat other people shabbily. We just don't get to do that ever. We have to care more about them than we do about just doing whatever we want to do. That's hard. That's hard to do. That's a big part of why people don't try to do that much anymore. And it makes sense that it's hard because other people, they come and go. But you, no matter where you go, there you are. You're always with you. It would make sense that you would care more about you than somebody else. You're always there. But that's not how God expects us to live. He expects us to grow and be better than just our base nature. Acts chapter 20, and verse 35 says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Integrity is something that's inside. It's in here. You've got to feel it. You can, by your actions, make people think that you have integrity, but it's you either have it in here or you don't. It means that you behave according to your principles, whether anybody else is there to see it or not. It's easy to not steal from a store when there's security cameras all over. How about when you know that you can get away with it, when you know no one will ever know you can't get caught, even your friends won't find out and think lesser of you, and it's something you'd really like to have. Do you refrain then? Simply because it's wrong? Do you refrain from lying because you don't want people to think badly of you, you don't want them to call you a liar, or because lying is wrong? Are you honest on your taxes because it would be wrong to cheat? Or because you're afraid that the government's going to lock you away and throw away the key? Well, we know that a lot of people only refrain from doing wrong because of fear of punishment. And how do we know this? When you turn on the news and there's a riot because somebody lost a football game, and that, it's ridiculous to me that that happens, but people will riot because their team lost the football game. People will get hurt, maybe killed. They will blow up cars. They will cave in the windows of stores. They will take stuff. They're not taking stereos out of the store because they care about their football team. They're taking stereos out of the store because they want a stereo. And the only reason they don't do it every other day of the year is because they get caught. But during a riot, when the cops are all down the block and everybody is stealing stuff, you can steal whatever you want. Nobody can do anything to you. There's one cop, there's 100 people carrying stuff. He's not going to get you. You can get away with it then. So that's what people do. All those people in the riots, whatever riots have ever been, all the people out there looting, hurting people, destruction of property, not even taking anything, just destroying property, all of that stuff, they just wanted an opportunity. That was inside them all along, to do those things. They only didn't do it because of the fear of repercussions. We can't be that way. We have to refrain from wrongdoing because it's wrong. Because that's not the kind of people we want to be. We have to do right. Not because we want people to think well of us. Well, I don't really want to help my friend move. But if I don't, people will think I'm selfish, so I'll go help him move. it's great that you help him move, but just you have no honor. Integrity's in here. We have to believe it in here and do it because of what's in here. There are times when sin is the easy way out. There are times when having integrity gets you an F on a test, gets you fired from your job. If cheating gets you the A or gets you the promotion, how easy it would be. But you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, that's not the kind of person I want to see when I look in the mirror every morning. I don't want to see a cheater. I don't want to see a thief. I don't want to see a liar when I look in the mirror. Integrity is who you are when nobody else is watching. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 14, there was a law. There's a lot of laws back there. There's one in particular that I found interesting. It says, you shall not curse the deaf. And think about it. If somebody's deaf, if they can't hear, you could stand right behind them, talk all kinds of trash about them. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to hear it. It's not even going to hurt them. You can insult them, whatever you want to do. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to be harmed by it at all, right? So why'd God say not to do it? Because it hurts you to act that way. Because it hurts your character to act that way. Where I work at an internet service provider. And I've done that for about the last 8 years. And at work, I have access to the email accounts of about 50,000 people. And I don't know if you know how email works, but it's not private. If I wanted to, I could read everybody's email, and they would never find out about it. And the people I work with would never find out about it. So next time you send an email, just realize, some system administrator somewhere, if he wants to read your email, it's read. You'll never know, and even his coworkers won't ever know. Totally insecure. I've never read anybody's email. I've never read a customer's email. Now, I have a natural human curiosity. Don't get me wrong. And I'd be interested to read what some of these people are thinking. You know, it would probably be enlightening in an anthropological kind of way to know what's going through some people's minds or how they communicate. You know, expand my horizons a little bit past my family and friends, sort of, you know, get an inside track on how other people think. But my desire to not be a totally scuzzy guy, that's a whole lot higher than my simple curiosity. So that was an easy call. Sometimes, that's a simple example, but sometimes the temptation's a lot stronger. Sometimes the temptation to do something wrong is very strong indeed. The Bible says that Moses chose to suffer with the Israelites than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin can be pleasurable. It can feel good to do wrong. You can get more money by doing wrong. You can get more stuff. You can get certain people to like you. You can get more success. There's all kinds of benefits of doing wrong. Sometimes it's a temptation. But you have to ask yourself, what's stronger? My desire to be a good person or my desire for whatever these things are that you want? It takes hard work. It takes practice. You can get to the point where something that you were strongly tempted by, after a few years of being a good person, the temptation for that goes way down. You don't even want to do that anymore. You're so used now to being a person of honor that it doesn't even occur to you to do some of these other things. If we work, we can make our desire to have integrity that much stronger than our desire to sin. That's one thing that God wants us to know, is that you can do it. No matter what you're tempted with, you're stronger. No matter how you lived your life up till now, if you make the choice, you can choose to be a person of honor from this day forward. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, there has no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Some of us are stronger than others. But God said, however strong you are, you're strong enough to stand up to whatever it is that Satan throws at you. We look and we say, well, Job was strong. I'm not like Job. I couldn't do it. Well, then it won't happen to you. Job was strong enough. It's important that we have this promise from God, because one of Satan's chief tools in convincing us that it doesn't make any sense to try and follow principles all the time is that it wouldn't work. I mean, I can always come up with a hypothetical scenario of when you would have no choice but to break your principles. Suppose I say, all right, somebody breaks into your house with a gun and they point at your family and they say, go to the store and steal a pack of cum and come back. Otherwise, I'll kill your family. And what are you going to do? You're going to say, stealing's wrong. Kill my family because I'm not going to steal a pack of gum. And that's what the world say. Oh, well, that's stupid. Of course, steal a pack of gum. Fine, you know. But, you know, you can always come up with some scenario that justifies violating God's word. It's easy to come up with lots of hypothetical things that are never going to happen to say, see, if this were to happen, I would be forced to violate God's commandments. And since it would be okay then, let me come up with another scenario that's not quite as extreme and it'll be okay there. Now let me come up with another scenario that's even less extreme and, you know, and then you get down to the point where, I didn't come to worship, but the game was on, you know. That's what's called the slippery slope. You just slide on down. But see, that's all a lie. Because, you know, I'll promise you, nobody's ever going to point a gun at you and say, steal a pack of gum. It's not going to happen. God has promised. That's why I say it's important that verse is in there. Because that verse destroys that whole idea. God promised that you can remain faithful if you want to. That no matter what you're tempted with, there'll be a way out of it. No matter what the scenario is, there will be a way to not sin against God. So I'm not worried about that scenario. Whatever temptation there is to do wrong, God promised I'll be strong enough to not give in. And that means that God's rules, they're not just suggestions to be thrown out if following them is really hard. It means He expects us to follow His laws all the time. He expects us to have integrity within ourselves. In Genesis chapter 7, Cain got angry and he killed his brother. And God said, if you do well, won't you be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin waits by the door. And unto you will be its desire, but you rule over it. God said to Cain, you rule over sin. He was telling him, he wasn't saying you should. You rule over sin. Don't let sin be your master. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua asks the nation of Israel whether they will serve God or not. He says, if it seems evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. So look in the mirror and say, am I right now the person that I want to be, the person that if I were anybody else, I would admire? If you met somebody else that was just like you, would you admire them? If you wouldn't, then maybe you should think about that. Honor is a lost virtue in our society, but it doesn't have to be for us. We can still have it. God promised us we could. We just have to want to have it. We just have to consider it important and desire to have that as a trait. If tonight you're not a Christian, but you want to become one, to stop living for yourself, start living for something that's greater than yourself, then you can do that. If you are a Christian, but you haven't behaved with the honor that you said you would when you became a Christian, then you can still make that right. If anyone has a need, please come while together we stand and while we sing.